Hi, I'm Connie Wilkes.
I'm Marlene Nelson.
I'm Jerry Gropp.
And I'm Sherry Spute.
And our last names make up the acronym WINGS.
We're just four ordinary moms with extraordinary bonds.
The Lord gathers us all under His wings as a hen gathers her chicks, and we hope to offer a place to gather for our friends, family, and all who wish to join us.
So welcome to our podcast conversation, Under His Wings.
Welcome back, everybody. It's good to be here with you guys. And it is another day.
Mm-hmm.
Another day. You know, I had an experience this past weekend that I wanted to share. I work at trade shows periodically throughout the year, and I come across people from all walks of life. And I have met some of the most interesting people. Well, this experience I had this weekend, there was a gal and her husband that I've met years ago, and then each time we come to the trade shows, I see them. And we've sparked a conversation and talk and just share little snippets of our lives. And I've followed them through an illness and the diagnosis of that and through trials.
Mm-hmm.
And this last Sunday, she came over. I looked behind her and her husband wasn't with her. And she shook her head, yes. And I just started bawling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to embrace her. And we cried together. And as I reflected on that for the last couple of days, I thought, you know, these chance encounters that we have, the moments we have to share with one another, just is amazing how our paths cross.
Mm-hmm.
The stories we have. And I am blessed because I know this couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be so fun this year as we have an opportunity to meet and talk with guests that we don't know very well. And some of them will know pretty well. Listeners, you're going to get so much from the experiences and the messages that we have from our special guests. And we are really excited to welcome Becca today. And Sherry, tell us a little bit about Becca.
Well, today, my beautiful friend Becca Root is the one that has joined us. We belong to the same faith congregation, which in our church we call Award. I taught all four of Becca's children in my preschool. So that's kind of how we started to get to know each other. Your husband was called as our bishop at the young age of, how old was he?
Yeah, 29.
Yeah, so young, and is currently in our stake presidency. And we've had the opportunity to spend some holidays together and gone on some really fun vacations together. And the thing that I love about Becca is that there's always a calmness, a positive undertone to everything that she does and says. She's very quick to smile. And interestingly enough, as we just sat down to record this podcast, I noticed she had a bracelet on, and I asked her what it said, and it said, "Be still." And I thought, that's the perfect description of my sweet friend. She has learned to face the adventures as well as the challenges of life with a lot of faith. And so I look forward to learning from her today, because like you said, Connie, I think, you know, whether our listeners learn or not, I know I will from all of our guests.
Absolutely.
Most certainly. And I concur that there's no coincidence that people are brought into our lives for a reason. So I assume the gal you were talking about, her husband must have passed away.
Yes.
Well, Beck and I lost parents at about the same time as well, so she feels like a soul sister in some ways as we would get together and cry together and share memories and kind of share in that grief at the same time. And
definitely,
we're healing and have moved on. And so let's have a conversation today and see where it takes us. I know this morning as I went up to my bedroom to get dressed, there was some soft instrumental music playing on our TV. YouTube, you know how it flips through things. Apparently, my husband had been studying Come Follow Me, and the next thing had come up, it was some sweet, soft, instrumental music was playing on the TV, and scriptures were being displayed on top of some beautiful scenery. And as I walked in, the scripture that happened to be displayed at that time was Psalm 46, verse 1, which reads, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And I thought, that is so simple. It's funny, all morning I had kind of been feeling a little bit uneasy about recording a podcast today without a definite topic or direction in mind. And so when I walked into the bedroom and I saw that, read it, and the Spirit just whispered to my soul, this is your theme for today. So let's begin. Why don't you tell us just briefly about your family, Becca?
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you guys so much mm-hmm. for allowing me to be on here. And thanks for the beautiful words, Sherry. And I agree, soul sisters and many memories. And when you go through trials together with friends, it does just deepen your bond, especially as you turn to Christ. Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm Becca Root. And I'm married and have four children that are all at home, elementary through high school, two boys, two girls. And so we are in the thick of activities, sports, going every direction, one who drives and the next one's about to drive, and feeling busy all the time. And I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I get to be a stay-at-home mom. I really enjoy that. My grandma also lives with us, so that's our home.
Yes, she's an amazing lady. We all love to learn from Grandma Maureen. So tell me a little bit about how you came to develop a testimony. I think you've told me it was from a very young age. So
yes.
Share a little bit about that.
Okay. I feel like I'm one of those people who I have had faith and a belief from a young age. I was influenced by, you know, my parents being raised in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and having experiences where I could feel the love of the Savior for me, knowing, singing from a young age, I am a child of God, mm-hmm. And feeling that I knew that I was of great worth and a child of God. I think I was influenced by both of my parents converted to the church in their young 20s and then served missions. And I always thought that was really neat that they had that faith and strength to learn about Jesus Christ, to be baptized, and to share it with others, as well as my grandma, who I'm talking about, who lives with us. She also met missionaries and learned about the church and joined as well just before my mom did. So I feel like that's a big influence in my life. I always thought that was really neat growing up, hearing their stories and seeing their faith.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Did your mom then share the gospel with your grandmother share it with your mom? Or did it happen at like different times? She joined and then your mom was introduced to missionaries, or how did that go?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked because it's such a great story. So my grandma and grandpa lived all over the world, and my mom was going to school some parts at a boarding school, some parts with them at different places they lived around the world. So at this time, my mom was going to school in Australia, and that's where my grandma and mom are from. And grandma and grandpa were living in South Africa.
Oh, wow.
And so they had missionaries come to them. Grandma knew that my grandpa was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but stopped going long before. And so when she saw the missionaries, she said, oh, my husband's a member of your church. Mm-hmm. And that started everything for her. And then her biggest regret was, oh, I wish I had learned about this sooner so that I could teach my daughter, who's now, let's say she was around 19. Mm-hmm. And so mom came out to visit in South Africa, and grandma told her about learning about the church and what a blessing it is in her life. And then my mom took lessons from the missionaries in South Africa. And they said, when you go back to Australia, tell them you're on this lesson, because it was a very particular way back then. And she did, and she was baptized as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's great.
I love that. I love that. When you do hear truth, you want to share it. You absolutely want to share it. And so I can see that your grandmother, she would feel that desire. Oh, I wish that my family knew what I know now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it really is a gift, isn't it?
It
to
is.
Know that. I was thinking about, you said you feel like you were almost born with it and you've known from a young age that you are special to Heavenly Father, that you have heavenly parents that love you. And that really is such a gift to know that, especially as you get older and you start facing hard times.
This gal that I was talking about earlier, you know, we had an opportunity. I don't know her faith. I do know that she knows there's an afterlife. We talk about the spirit. We talk about angels. We talk about God. Mm-hmm. And to be able to share my light with her and that connection we have in understanding deity, I know we'll just extend as we continue our friendship, because I know I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to teach and testify of eternal families now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it'll mean more to her now than ever, for sure. So we've all gone through experiences in life that have taught us and helped us to, you know, it's shaped us into the people we are. Does anything come to mind? Have you had any experiences that you can look back and say, yes, because of this, I am who I am?
Yes, I feel like there are so many, mm-hmm. and so to pinpoint a few, I think a lot of mine are just those small moments. Mm-hmm. I've had some bigger, but a lot are those small moments. One thing that comes to mind right now, one moment, one experience, is when I was a teenager, and there was a youth activity, maybe for the 14 to 17, 18-year-olds. And it was a couple day, what they call youth conference, so you guys know about that, where we would have service and different classes to have fun together as youth and also to draw closer to Christ. And I was feeling particularly cynical, sarcastic, or, you know, something about the experience of the testimony meeting. So after you do your 2-day experiences, you come together and you're able to go up and share your thoughts and testimony. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling, okay, I've done these before. Mm-hmm. People are going to say my life has changed and it's only been 2 days. Or I didn't want to come, but I'm so glad I did. And they burst into tears. I was just being cynical and not spirit-filled, I guess. Mm-hmm. And my dad was at this activity. He was in the hallway. And I don't remember the particulars, but he said, just come sit with me in the back. You know, he didn't feel judged at how I was feeling, but just invited me to come in the back where everyone else was. The youth were in the front and some adults in the back. And the meeting started out with a slideshow of the Savior with just beautiful hymns and music being played. And I just felt the Spirit so strongly testify of Christ and God's love for me. I just started to bawl, and that rough exterior just melted. And I feel like moments like that just stay with you, mm-hmm. where you feel it's real. Mm-hmm. We're loved. We're known, mm-hmm. even if we're not being the best we can be.
Absolutely. Amazing. Anything else?
Yeah, I feel like I could add more experiences. I have Crohn's disease, and I've had it at bay in remission for many years. So I feel so blessed that it doesn't really affect my day-to-day life. But back in middle school and high school, it was a very unknown. I was in and out of many doctor's appointments, not in remission. I was having active inflammation and things going on. So I was in and out of a lot of doctor's offices, in and out of being sick and unable to do things I wanted to do. You know, wasn't at full capacity to do the best at sports at different times, or lost my hair at certain times, oh, not completely, goodness. But just, you know, different things that are hard as a teenager.
Mm-hmm. I could imagine.
And different medications that made me bloated or my face up, or one of the things, my face would turn red. And I think I kind of have that in me. But this medication made it, if any teacher called on me, which teachers have to call on you, it would just be an immediate. Oh. So just different things that were a little challenging. But I remember just a few moments within that trial of having spirit-filled experiences. And a few were in receiving priesthood blessings. And I'm jumping around a little bit, but I'm thinking of one in college as well as one in high school, and I'm going to tell you about the college one. I had gone to college, it's my freshman year, and there was quite a few question marks, like, am I going to be able to do this? Because I'm still going through a lot of sickly moments and trying to figure out how to do life, but still take care of my body, but not sure if my body can handle what being away from home mm-hmm. in college entails. So there was a particular time where I had a doctor's appointment the next day. I was very sickly. I was in the dorms. I went down the hallway back and forth to the bathroom because it's in the middle. And at one point, I didn't faint, but close to it where I just was on the ground and couldn't go any further. Oh, wow. I had beautiful friends around me who helped me. But I needed and wanted to get a priesthood blessing. And I remember thinking, okay, the people I have to ask, so then it was your home teachers, and they were my same age.
Right.
They hadn't given a lot of blessings, and I thought about my dad who'd given me a lot of blessings growing up. Like, what are they, like, I'm not sure, like, do I ask them, or do I go ask someone's father?
Or seasoned.
Yeah, exactly. And I called my dad, and I said, you know, was telling him this, and he just paused and said, Becca, if it's good enough for the Lord, it's good enough for me. Wow. As in, they've received the priesthood right. of God from God.
Wow.
That's good enough for me. That was a very powerful moment.
Absolutely.
In my wow. testimony and faith.
Yeah, because and I received it's that not their blessing. Words that create the healing, is it? It's through your faith and through that priesthood power that they've been given. I love it.
It's also a teaching experience for those young priesthood holders. I'm glad you had the opportunity to ask them yes. and have the faith in them so that then they could develop their faith as well. That's neat.
Yes, as we practice our faith and it grows, and that was an opportunity for me to say, okay, mm-hmm. I can exercise my faith a little more.
So if you could go back to your younger self, back there in your high school or college days, what would you say?
That's a great question. I think knowing who we are as children of God, it's so fundamental. And if you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it's repeated so often that sometimes we might forget how important it is. Mm-hmm. And I think as we learn who we are, we want to pray. We want to connect with our Heavenly Father and receiving our own personal revelation. I think it's so important. So I guess going back to my younger self, it would be rely on that, build that, always believe that you are a child of God and He hears and answers your prayers and He will always guide you. We were taught that in church, in families, at a younger age, and I feel like I was taught that where they'd say, well, when you have trials, you know, rely on that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really feel, even though I had, you know, the sickness, whatever, I didn't feel it as a trial back then. And I really look at it back, and it wasn't as big of a trial as some adult trials now can be.
Sure.
You know, it does feel very minor. Mm-hmm. They do come, though.
Right.
Yeah. And in the moment, it feels big, you know, because you're young and your faith is being tried. And you're just learning some of those concepts that things will work out, that the Lord is there, He is guiding you. You haven't had enough life experience to really testify of that yet. So you're kind of questioning, why is this happening to me?
But if it didn't seem that big of a deal then, I mean, you kind of did. You said it did or it didn't, now that you know what more difficult trials are.
Looking through the lenses of today, where you've been through some big trials, you now realize that you blushing when a teacher called on you is not a big deal. But back then, as a high school student, I have a daughter that struggled with the same thing, and that was a big deal to her. It really affected her self-confidence and her self-esteem to know that she would go bright red if called on, or if she worked out too hard in PE, you know, friends would say, why is your face so red? That was,
Yep, you know, exactly.
It was hard for her. Yeah.
It's hard in the moment. And I also look back and think, because I did have that faith at a young age and trusted in God, it also, I look back and I think, wow, I had a great high school experience despite all that. And I was a really happy, positive kid. And I do attribute that to God, to my faith, to the whole, everything does work out. It doesn't, it might not look how we think it should, but it works out.
Your identity was so foundational because of that. And then, yeah, as you think about, oh, I wish I would have known, or wish I would have taken advantage of that knowledge of, okay, if I'm a child of God, that relationship I can build on, He really does care. He really is there to answer prayers. And I'm not alone. I'm totally not alone. And there's, you know, that knowledge, but then that absolute knowledge where you say, I will turn to Him in everything, is just so powerful. So yeah, I think that's a very, really a powerful point to say, okay, oh, I wish I would have taken advantage of that more.
And worried more about what God thinks than what others think. I think that's a big one at those at that age, where we think our perspective is.
Oh, it's definitely on what other people think of us, isn't it? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Where we? Yeah, and I think God was helping to build within you some resilience.
That's a great way to put it. Yes.
Yeah.
Never thought about it that way.
Face some of those future adult trials that always come for everyone.
Yes, and that resilience helps you to endure to the end. And
so, like Sherry, you sound like you know more about these trials she's gone through. I'm super curious. You've had some major ones?
I feel like going back to the death of our, you know, your parents and my dad.
Why don't you share a little bit about that?
Is a big one most recently. Yeah. So back in August of 2020, so during all of COVID, my dad passed away unexpectedly. He was on a bike ride and had a bike accident, no cars involved, but just on his own, that he died immediately.
Oh, wow.
Someone found him, got him to the hospital, and my mom and I were able to be there, but basically for her to make the decision on pulling the plug. So he was on life support. Very
sudden.
And unexpected. Yeah.
Completely unexpected. He was so healthy. And
yeah.
So a very big, big moment in
shock,
in my life. My dad's one of my heroes. You can already hear the thread of him throughout my spiritual and faith journey of life and development. And so it was a twilight zone. And on top of that, it was just one of the biggest experiences, the biggest experience of grief I've ever felt. I didn't know grief until this happened. And that was huge. I now, if anyone ever says, my spouse, parent, child, sibling, just when they're going through major grief, you know, has passed away, I look at it completely different. I just stop dead in my tracks, look them in the eyes and say, how are you? In a different way than maybe I would think I was saying the same words before, but it's said a completely different way now. Definitely the gospel of Jesus Christ has been such a light for me. I believe I will see my dad again.
Was there, can I ask?
Yes.
Was there a moment where you're like, okay, I've been taught this my whole life, but now I really need to know that this is where my dad is and that I will see him again? And is all of this true? Is this, I mean, you just take a deep breath and you, do you, did you go through that? Or was it like, nope, I just know that peace came? Because sometimes I'm thinking, if I woke up and I'm like, okay, is this what I really believe?
Oh, it's huge. So I did not. Many people go through that, and I think that's wonderful as well, because when we question, we're going to learn.
Right.
So I don't think that's a bad thing.
No.
But with my faith and kind of my personality, I did have the peace the whole time that I will see him again and that he's doing great work and that he's alive and well and that it's going to be okay.
How comforting.
Now, what that didn't do is it didn't make it okay. Right. I was a wreck.
Yeah. Right.
I was a wreck. I never questioned my faith or where he was or what was happening because that it was in me. And I do believe that's a gift of the Spirit mm-hmm. that I have and to others is a gift to question, to learn or other things. Not saying it's better, but that's just where I was at. But I was a wreck. Mm-hmm. I probably was in a twilight zone about 3 months where I don't even know, you know, did I feed myself? Are the kids okay? I don't know. I had so many angels around me, angels on earth helping me. And my husband, a few weeks after my dad passed, and my husband was very close to my dad. So definitely we could share in the grief. And he was very good to me with that. You know, it was very nice to rely on each other, to share experiences, to talk about it. But he said a few weeks after my dad passed, when are you going to be okay? Like, he was so worried, like, you're gone. Kind of.
So having the testimony doesn't take away the grief, does it? Mm-hmm. Or the pain of the experience is still very real and very raw, and it can affect your day-to-day living. And just because it was hard to get up that morning and get dressed or read your scriptures, I remember you sharing that with me, it doesn't mean that your testimony is weak. It just means that you loved so deeply that now the pain is so intense, it can make day-to-day functioning hard for a while.
Yes, that's 100% what it was. I just felt I was heavy. I was a concrete block. Like, life will never be normal again. I don't want a future without him in it. All those things.
Hard to see everybody else just go on with their life around
yes.
you?
Yes.
I got thinking about that, you know? It's like, wait a minute, stop. Do you know what happened to me?
Exactly.
You can't just go on.
Exactly. Going down a hallway and just thinking, if anyone just asked me, I'd tell you right. what a great man is gone, you know, and you'd know
yeah.
that it's not just a normal day. And I remember I didn't feel the warmth of the sunshine. I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, mm-hmm. but I still had peace, but it wasn't easy at all. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you brought up, Sherry, the experience with scriptures. And then I had experience with the temple where we're opposite of how I would normally act. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, you know, something big happened. I should turn to the scriptures. You know, I was praying, I was feeling, but it felt heavy. I remember describing to Sherry to open the scriptures.
Interesting.
And I remember just feeling peace though, that's
yeah,
okay.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah,
you're at where you're
moment.
At.
Yeah.
And we had the opportunity to go to the temple for an important ordinance of a friend. And I was like forcing myself to get dressed. It was, my husband was at work, kids are at school, and I could go. Forcing myself to this and that. And then finally it just came to me. I was supposed to be ready in 10 minutes. And I thought, it's okay. You're not going to make it today. Just tell your husband you're not going to make it. And it shocked him. Like, isn't this what you need right now? You need the temple. You need the scriptures. But the peace, underlying peace was there of, it'll be okay at some point.
Yeah,
and I'm still a good person.
Yep.
Not today,
wow.
And that's okay.
Give yourself
it's
grace.
Okay to not be okay. I had to repeat that over mm-hmm. and over.
Oh, maybe we'll go through something, and then that will be our experience, and we'll question. Wait a minute, what is up?
It's okay to not be okay today.
Oh yeah,
and knowing that you felt that peace deep, deep down inside, but there was pain there, heavy, heavy pain, and
yes.
you have to make space for that too. To work through it.
I love how you said that.
To process it.
Make space for that. I think that was one of the lessons God was teaching me was don't shame yourself or judge yourself because you don't need to check a box today.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you're at.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sherry, did you have feelings like you had to just keep going, going, going? You are so driven. I wonder if you gave yourself truly the opportunity to grieve.
When Becca lost her father, my mother was in a care center and dying of cancer. So it was a little different for me because I had time to prepare.
Okay.
It wasn't a shock. But I remember feeling such grief at watching her decline and her pain and what she was going through, and feeling like I'd already kind of lost my mother because of her dementia and other things. And I remember very clearly one day having the impression, you need to go sit and visit with Becca. That was healing and helpful for me, to go and sit with somebody that I knew could understand my pain and I could understand hers. And that we could just sit and be sad together and just love each other and just know in time we're going to be okay. This deep, oppressive pain is not going to last forever. But because we were privileged enough to love so deeply, we too were privileged to experience the pain of the loss of that love.
Yes, exactly. Thanks for sharing that.
It's really, truly a soul connection. Because I think you've got such a radiance about you. I wish the listeners could see you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the light that you carry, Becca, is beautiful.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, Sherry, for being there for me during that time.
Yeah. And then you turned around and were there for me with both my mother and then, gosh, less than a year later, my father as well, passing that one unexpectedly. So you understood that, the pain behind that. But here we sit with smiles today, knowing that, yes, everything is okay. And we will get to enjoy their association throughout the eternities. And that brings me great hope, even though all the time things will come to my mind and I'll think, oh, I wish I could call mom or dad and ask him this question or talk to him about that. I really miss them. But I have no doubt they're probably far more a part of our lives than we realize.
I believe that.
Yeah. And they're helping us with our kids in ways that they couldn't have done had they still been on the earth. I believe that as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As you've talked about your parents and your dad especially, and the things you remembered about him and the things you wanted to share with others about him, what would you want to be remembered for personally?
That's a great question too.
While you're thinking about that and thinking about your dad, I remember when we were painting our house, and we didn't know your dad that well. He hadn't lived here in Boise all that long, but we'd been together on a few occasions at some holidays and stuff where we celebrated together. And he was a man of great wisdom. He even wrote a book about, 365 Reasons Why I Believe?
Yes.
Is that the title?
Yep, about Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Mm-hmm. What's your maiden name? So what's his full name?
Craig Rogers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is great. But he was just that kind of individual who would just dig in and help and serve. So he heard we were painting our house, and he showed up in his good clothes.
He's like,
what can I do, you know, to help paint? And so I'm like, well, first let me go get you
an old clothes.
Yeah. But he was willing. He was willing to ruin what he had on. But anyway, I went and got an old shirt for him, and he got up and painted our trim. And so we had a chance to talk a lot that day as I was up on the roof and he was on a ladder painting the trim. And yeah, I just have great admiration for him.
Did you know he'd done that?
I didn't even know that story. Yeah. So thanks for sharing it. And that sounds like my dad.
Yeah.
So thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, so have you thought about what you'd like to be remembered for?
I think of kindness. I think of love, understanding. I think those are a few words I think of to help people feel. I want people to feel that I cared about them, and through those attributes that they felt the love of our Savior and Heavenly Father for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that beautifully describes you already. So you keep
You are too good to me, and that's why we're good friends. You just shower me with all the good stuff.
And you know, though, I have firsthand experienced that, because as you came up to my door, we had not met before, even though I now know your last name and I know now the connection that you have with my mom and my mother-in-law being in their ward all of a sudden. But I didn't know that before. I only knew that beautiful smile you gave me. There was a comfortable feeling immediately. It wasn't awkward. Come on in, have a seat. You were just so sweet, so just inviting, and your love and kindness really did come through in immediately, just immediately. So they're not just words Sherry's sharing. She's telling it from the heart.
Well, thank you. And you've made the same welcoming, warm, inviting home to be in.
Thank you.
So why don't you share with us one of your biggest successes, you know, something that you're really proud of, as you're thinking about the answer to that. One thing I can say I directly learned from you was when you decided to do your own boutique. Would you call it that?
Yes, clothing? I kind of forget about that little blip in my life.
Yeah. I mean, was it like a year, maybe 18 months?
Yes, I think you're about right. Yeah. I can't even remember.
Like you Christmas boutique or what kind of boutique?
A clothing boutique. Wow. I decided that I wanted to try this endeavor, my own little business, and jumped in very scared and unsure, not knowing what I was doing.
And so did you take the clothes to like parties or did people just come to your house?
I did a few parties, one at my house. I did, what did you say earlier that you go to? Bazaars,
yeah. Right? Trade shows.
Yes. So a few of those where I'd set up a booth and sell some online products. Mm-hmm. Yep. I did some Facebook stuff, very outside my comfort zone, jumped in a few things.
And so you probably don't consider that one of your glowing successes. But what I remember learning from you was as you started that and you were telling me about what you were going to do, you said, you know, I'm not sure that whether this will be a success or not. But it's something I've always wanted to try. And I know that whether this succeeds or fails, I will have learned a lot through the process. And I just thought, you probably don't remember that conversation.
I don't remember.
Well,
that
I just know you so shared that in an earlier podcast.
I did share it in another podcast. Oh. That's what a deep effect it had on me, because I was just impressed with the fact that you were not going to let the fear of failure hold you back from doing something you wanted to try. And I think that's awesome.
Huge attribute truly, that's a great attribute.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Because there's been times I've let fear hold me back.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have regrets that you didn't try it because you never know whether you would have succeeded at it or not.
But, yes. And I think we all have that. Yeah. Have moments where we go and moments we don't. Mm-hmm. But that was definitely an experience to where I closed the door on that pretty quickly, you know, and decided that's not for me. But I did learn so many things to kind of steer me in future endeavors, you know, of what I want or what's good for my family.
What insight you had to say, okay, that's not for me. Sometimes we just keep going because we just keep going instead of saying, whoa, that isn't for me, but I'm going to take what I learned from that and move forward. Mm-hmm. Thanks. So what did you move forward to?
What I moved forward to? So I've been a stay-at-home mom. My husband went out on his own a few years ago, started his own company. It's our company, but he runs it and I'm home with the kiddos. So I'd say one of the things that I learned, and it was just for very personal, it wasn't a, you know, to extrapolate to anyone else, but just that my supportive role in my husband / our company was what we wanted and what was best for our family. Mm-hmm. That was just one piece of just the Lord guiding me to where I could best serve at that time. And it wasn't bringing in a teeny bit of token side money and taking a lot of time away. Just for an example, it could have been many things, right? Mm-hmm. There's lots of things I could choose to do, but that was right for our family at this time.
Okay. The Spirit just touched me on that one. Because I don't think I would have noticed or looked at certain things like that, but crucial for us that we see that, what can I do for my husband and my family? And that is my greatest gift right now.
And contribution.
Yeah. And valuable. Sure. It's so valuable.
Yes. And I will add that for me, it was probably more of a sacrifice to do the side business than to do what I'm doing. I love, it's hard, right? Being a stay-at-home mom, doing all the schedules, doing all the things. But I love it, and I feel so grateful that I have an opportunity to do it because of, you know, my husband taking the load of providing for our family in that way.
Yeah. So really it was a success just because you walked away with some greater knowledge, experience, and wisdom.
Yep, and a few cute dresses.
Me too. And a sweater I still will wear today.
So as you've taken that role as motherhood, and you just said, you know, and it's hard, but I love it. Well, parenting's hard. So how do you parent? What's some advice you would give to parents as you've watched yourself grow in that?
Yes, I think a lot of us would agree that we're just figuring it out as we go, and I still am. I've told this to many friends, but I really had this picture in my head when I was a, you know, say a teenager or younger, I'd babysit or whatever. And there was a number in my head or just a thought, you know, when you're in your mid-30s, which I'm there and a little more now, you'll know how to make that big meal for the whole family to come over. You'll know how to gather and the rolls will come out this way and that, and it'll all be on time. And just certain things that you think come maybe magically with age. And then you get there and realize, nope, it's not how it works. We're just all still figuring it out and faking it till we make it.
Yep. And 2 decades later, when you get to be the age of Connie and I, you'll still be figuring it out.
So it humbles you. It humbles you. And you realize there's, you know, I don't have it figured out.
Sometimes in my life right now, I say, I used to have it figured out, but now I can't remember. Or we stopped doing something that we really did a lot. And now when we're asked to, I'm thinking of cooking. You know, I used to bake and I used to make pies and I used to do all bread and all that. And now I haven't done it for so many years that instead of not having to use the recipe, I get the recipe out and then I make it and it flops. And I'm like, what? I used to know how to do this.
Different stages of life.
Exactly.
Different needs. Yes. Yes, I see that.
So in parenting your children, what's a really good philosophy you would have?
I was just talking to my sister about parenting, and she's a few years behind me in ages of kids at least, and talking about how each kid is so unique and has different needs, different things that help them to learn and grow, help them to develop, help them to know right from wrong. And so with philosophy of parenting, I think one thing I try to do is show love. Mm-hmm. It sounds so basic or so, it doesn't mean I'm, you know, perfect at it, but showing love and understanding and giving space for the differences. And I'm still working on that. But I think that's one of the things that I strive to do and allow my children to use their agency to hopefully, I guide them to use their agency to choose God. But to allow them to stumble on their own and kind of figure it out as they go. And that's hard for me.
Well, we're a generation of fixers.
I want to control it. I want to, you know, have the outcome be a certain way. But that's something I try to do is show trust in them and then to share my beliefs and my testimony and my faith in Jesus Christ, hoping that that will help them develop their internal compass.
Well, your parents showed and taught you. It's just now filtered down into your parenting philosophy is you're a child of God. We're here to learn. I will love you through this. And I believe you can make it through even if you're going through trials. I mean, can you see how that philosophy is just carried down? I love that so much.
Yes, 100%. I owe it to my parents. I can, right when you were saying that, I go back to the times that we'd have family prayer, that we'd be at church, that we'd go to a baptism, that we'd read the scriptures, that we'd go serve someone. All those pieces that weren't every day, or we'd miss days, or it wasn't perfect, but my parents kept trying. And now here I am doing the same thing. It doesn't look perfect. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of pushback, but we're trying. Mm-hmm.
I know I can hear your words. We're just trying to figure this out. I love that because that's exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you saying that your husband was a bishop at a very young age, which means you had children also. And as you were watching his time now shift a little bit to congregation and their needs, here you are, the mother of young children. And then take that now and couple it to the fact that now at another stage of parenting age, your husband is in the state presidency. He is the state president. So the time away now is different, but it's also at a crucial age of these children. How do you balance that time? How does he balance that time? Where is your communication in parenting together and the support you give to him? I'm sure because you know that he is doing the Lord's work, that you've got that focus, but has it ever been a problem or a challenge?
Oh, I have lots of thoughts with this. So my mind goes back to, the younger years, and as when he was bishop and gone a lot and I was home with the young kids, and it was hard and Sunday was not a restful day. And I would often tell him, you had the easier day today. I had the harder day. But I did cling on to what you said, that my mentality was always, at least, you know, in the back end of it, if not always in the front part of it, that he's serving the Lord. And I'm so grateful to support that and that he chooses to do that. And that's one of the top reasons I married my husband, is because he puts God first. And I love that about him. And so I love that he serves. But yes, it does not mean that it didn't come with the trials of, you're gone all the time and I'm doing it on my own. I remember trying.
To keep those thoughts at bay.
Yeah.
Because there's no doubt in my mind that the adversary was there placing those thoughts and feelings in your heart at times, hoping you would take that direction.
Yes. But, and I saw my dad serve when I was younger, and how he always put us first as kids and family and did his calling. Mm-hmm. You know,
it didn't have to be one or the other.
No, yeah. I'm like, how did he do? Where'd all that time come from? Because I felt like number one, but mm-hmm. I know he had a lot of hours there and at work. Mm-hmm. So that example, I think, helped me have the perspective that, you know, this is a role behind a role, you know.
Yeah,
right. And teaching your children that, instead of them seeing somebody who whines and, oh, your dad's always gone, I have to do this by myself. You guys, come on, step it up. I don't want to, you know.
Yes.
If that didn't happen, you obviously understood. Wait, he was always there. But if that was pointed out, he's not. Can you see the difference that we would have
in
that attitude?
Yes, they'd be two different scenarios. So I won't say those words were never said, but I
or felt.
But I feel like I was strengthened to have a perspective that God had a plan for our family, and that was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming to today, a little more flexibility. I have teenagers down to the youngest is 10. And so a lot more, you know, self-sufficient, mm-hmm. and some more enjoyable activities can be done that don't involve me doing every step of them. And so it's kind of a different stage now. You asked about parenting. Sky, my husband, is very good at bringing his experiences that he has in his different capacities, whether that's at work, his personal scripture study, or at church meetings. And he'll come home and share that with the family. So I think that's one way that it brings it home and unifies us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah, and if you know Sky Root, he works hard, he worships hard, but he plays hard too. So when he makes time for his family, you know, you go and do some fun things, go on some great vacations, and have a lot of opportunities to bond and spend time together, which is important.
As I think about Sky and his devotion to God, I think about how he was raised by great parents who instilled in him hard work, turning to God, having faith, believing that things will work out and come together for our good. And he had great examples in his parents that also influence our home today and what we try to do. And like I say, have still so much to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Skye was blessed with beautiful, faith-filled, valiant grandparents, grandmothers particularly, who really instilled in him a love of God and a knowledge of who he is as a son of God.
So it sounds to me like your goals aligned in your service to God. And I think that is beautiful.
And you, Becca, I've watched, you've relied on those compensatory powers to give you strength to carry a little additional load when those kids were younger and it was harder, right?
Yes, yeah. It's beautiful what the Lord does.
I believe your personality is such that your husband was allowed to be called and was called because of the woman you are.
For sure. So as we end, Becca, I'd like to ask you one more question. Is there something, maybe an attribute or godlike quality that you're striving for or working on at this time in your life?
Love comes to mind. The Christ-like attribute of love or charity, being the pure love of Christ. I have that in my heart and mind, trying to think of it more as I grow in the gospel, as I have more life experiences. I feel there's so much room for me to learn to love others as Christ loves them, to withhold judgment, to give mercy and show grace, just as I would want others to show to me or to my family. As we go through life, we see more and more that everyone has a story. Everyone goes through struggles, and some aren't that obvious, but everyone has something. And I want to, so it's something I want to strive for, become, put at a focus for me, is to have more love in my heart for all of God's children and to try to emulate that love of Christ, that charity. I'd also like to add my testimony, if I can, that I know that God lives and loves us, and I know that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to show us a way to live, to die for our sins, and I know that he was resurrected and that we can be forgiven of our sins because of Jesus Christ, and that we can return to live with God again. And he wants us to. He wants us to have joy in this life, and we're here to learn and grow and become. And I also know that we have a prophet. President Nelson is a prophet called of God today to be his mouthpiece, to speak to us the things that God would have us hear and do. And Jesus Christ, as he directs the church and helps us navigate life here on earth. And I am grateful for that. I know that we have words of prophets in the scriptures, and that we can turn to the scriptures, and that they are the word of God, that we can be guided and find answers to prayers through the scriptures. And I know these things to be true. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you.
I love that you mentioned the word charity, because that has really been on my mind the last few months. Maybe that's also why we're soul sisters. We just that's my goal too, is I just want to be able to love everyone more fully, give more grace to everyone that I come in contact with, because we're all fighting battles, aren't we? We're all going through some hard things, and yet we're all richly blessed in so many ways. I think about Neil A. Maxwell. I remember him teaching that opposition is an indispensable ingredient in overall growth, that without it, one cannot become a polished product. And when I keep that in mind, that everybody's going through hard things, I am too, but we can continue to grow and become polished together, can't we? Especially if we continue to turn to the Lord through the difficult days. And so I think we'll just end today with the scripture that we began with, which is Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. we testify that that is true. He is there for all of us through all of our ups and downs. And we are so grateful, Becca, that you would join us here today.
Thank you so much.
And yes, for teaching us. I'm better for having been here today.
Me too.
I appreciate you guys.
And to our listeners, we hope that you will continue to stay safely under His wings.